For myself, brethren, I'm sure is true for all of us. To know the truth of our Heavenly Father's plan is the greatest gift one could ever receive. It's the motivation principle of our entire life. We cherish the harvest message given to us by our returned Lord through Brother Russell. Today, we would like to consider a few of Brother Russell's original teachings relative to the harvest period, and then we would consider some of his harvest timing clarifications that he made in the reprints. I'd like to begin by reflecting on a series of charts of what I believe we would all concur were Brother Russell's original teachings in the volumes. The Lord's return began in 1874, at which time the thousand-year reign of Jesus and the church began, and it would last until the year 2874. The thousand-year binding of Satan would thus run concurrently with the thousand-year reign of Jesus and the church, 1874 to 2874. We saw how 1874 was the chronological end of the 6,000-year reign of sin and death, followed by the 7,000-year millennial day of blessing, which would be in the same period as the other 2,000-year periods. We also realize that the first portion of the millennium is the harvest, which started in 1874 and up to today in 2016 has lasted for 142 years, leaving 858 years left of the millennium. Well, this, brethren, is in essence what we all believe Brother Russell originally taught. Now, I'd like to proceed to consider articles where Brother Russell refers to the mediatorial reign also being 1,000 years. We'll call it just two of them. It is the 1,000-year day of Christ, the period of his mediatorial reign in which Satan will be bound. So we notice this 1,000-year day of Christ and the mediatorial reign is the same 1,000 years in which Satan is bound. Question Book 467. There can be no mediatorial work between God and men until the body of Christ is complete and the mediatorial kingdom begins, and it will last through all of the 1,000 years. We may recall that there are many similar references to the 1,000-year mediatorial reign in the harvest message. In fact, we printed 7 pages of them, 56 quotations on our handout that you may want to read at home. But what we'll find is this. Brother Russell is 100% consistent in all mediatorial reign articles that, one, the mediatorial reign cannot begin until the church is complete and the blood is applied to justice. And secondly, the mediatorial reign will last for 1,000 years, during which Satan will be bound and it will end at the start of the little season. Now, when we try to plot the mediatorial reign on our chart of what we have all believed, we have a little problem. We know the mediatorial reign can't start until the church is complete, and that is to last for 1,000 years, and will end at the start of the little season. Well, I think we could see there actually is no way that we can fit that into our chart. We are already 142 years into the millennium, and the church is still not complete. But even if the church were complete today, there's only 858 years left to the little season. And so we can see there's no way that 1,000-year mediatorial reign period can fit into our present understanding chart before the little season. How can we harmonize this? Well, shortly, brethren, we will present a clarified chart based on Brother Russell's own writings, where he made clarifications that will show us how this problem can be solved, as well as other seeming dilemmas that have come to our mind that each of us have endeavored to harmonize over the years. Such as, the church was to live and reign as priests for 1,000 years, starting in 1874. Yet we're still here, after 142 years, and we're not yet reigning as priests. And there's only 858 years left of the millennium. A second problem is 6,000 years of the reign of sin and death was up in 1874. And then it was followed by the 1,000-year millennial day of blessing, the millennium, which was to be at the same time as when Satan was to be bound for 1,000 years. But as we've considered the last 142 years of the harvest, we realize sin and death still continues, and Satan is far from bound. A chart of Brother Russell's clarification will shortly answer these seeming dilemmas, as well as that raised in reprint 5023, that was written in 1912. Reprint 5023. Is it scriptural to say that the glorified members of the church have reigned at any time up to the present? His answer, no, they have not reigned at any time. The reign of Christ did not in any sense begin in the past. When the reign of Christ begins, you will find it such a thorough reign that all the members of his body will have some part in it. Well, previously, Brother Russell and we all saw that the reign of Jesus and the church began in 1874 or 78. But here, in 1912, Brother Russell states, in no sense have the glorified church reigned in the past. We want to note how this is a definite change in Brother Russell's earlier view. It seems like this sentence couldn't be any clearer. The reign of Christ, and Christ means the anointed, the reign of the anointed head and body did not in any sense begin in the past. These are the words of our pastor. Should we not incorporate them into our understanding? The next article clarifies Brother Russell further. It starts with a question. I understand from Revelation 20:4-6 that Christ will reign 1,000 years, and from verses 2-7 that Satan will be bound during that period. If Christ began to reign in 1878 and Satan will not be bound until 1915, the two periods don't seem to synchronize. And furthermore, both extend beyond the 7,000-year period, which according to our Bible chronology began in the autumn of 1872. How is this? Can you assist me? Let's now consider Brother Russell's answer to this question step by step. Apparently, this matter of when the 1,000-year period should be reckoned as fully beginning and fully ending will be an open question until the close of the millennial age. So first of all, we want to notice here that Brother Russell indicates that this matter of the 1,000 years wasn't completely crystallized in his own mind positively. For notice how he says, apparently, it will be an open question until the end of the millennial age. We continue with his answer, where he goes on to express what he now was sure of. The scripture declaration respecting the saints, the overcomers, is they lived and reigned 1,000 years. The reign of the saints cannot be properly be said to begin before all the jewels have been gathered, nor before the times of the Gentiles end in 1914. Nor is it said that their reign will be no longer than 1,000 years. brethren, can we see that this is a clarification or change in Brother Russell's view. His original teachings was that the reign of Christ began in 1874-78, as stated many times in the Harvest Message. But we notice now in 1912 article that we just read, as well as this article, that the reign of the saints, cannot begin until the church is complete. And it would have to be sometime after 1914. But we want to note, brethren, that this article is not referring to when the reign of our Lord began, but when the reign of the saints, the church, would begin. We believe the reign of our Lord did begin in 1874, but it's the reign of the saints that he says can't begin until the church is complete. And then he gets very specific by saying this reign of the saints, or the church, can't begin before the times of the Gentiles end in 1914. We believe Brother Russell is actually telling us here that the reign of the Lord and the reign of the saints are two separate and distinct entities, which I'd like to show in the following, what I would call a clarification chart. Our Lord's reign did begin at his return in 1874. He returned with a crown upon his head to begin the harvest work, and he came with authority to start the removal of Satan's evil empire. His reign would continue as the head of the church to the end of the little season. Thus, it would be longer than 1,000 years. The second aspect of the Lord's reign is the 1,000-year mediatorial reign of Jesus and the church. Jesus and the church. Which we now know, he tells us, cannot begin until the church is complete. And it would last for 1,000 years, from the end of the harvest to the start of the little season. Thus, the 1,000-year mediatorial reign of Jesus and the church would be the same time period as the 1,000-year binding of Satan, as we quoted from Brother Russell earlier. Well, now in addition, I just discovered a scripture that kind of was thrilling to me, hope it is for you, in that I believe it pinpoints that the binding of Satan starts after the church is complete and all have entered into their rest beyond the veil. First, recall that the rest that remains for the church beyond the veil in Hebrews 4, 9, and 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Now notice Psalm 94, 12 to 14, and this is Rotherham. How happy, blessed the man whom thou correctest, chastens, O Jehovah, and whom out of thy law thou instructest. And it's referring here to how each member of the church are chastened and instructed by God. And the reason for it is for our chastening is to be brought out in the next verse, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of misfortune or evil. Yes, each member of the church must have these trials and these chastenings in order to enter into that final rest beyond the veil. But now we want to notice the time element as to when the days of evil, of this present evil world, will be over, and the time that all the church will enter into their rest beyond the veil. The verse continues, until there be digged for the lawless one a pit. Well, the lawless one here is Satan. He's the most lawless one in all of creation. The pit is referring to the bottomless pit of Revelation 20, 1-3, that Satan will be cast into for 1,000 years. In other words, the scripture is telling us that when the last member of the church finally enter into the rest beyond the veil, and the days of evil then will come be ended soon, then the pit for Satan will be digged. That is when he will be cast into the pit where he will be bound for 1,000 years. Notice the time element is corroborating Satan's binding and the mediatorial reign, both beginning when the church is complete. Coming back now to our original chart of what we all believe Brother Russell originally taught, we find there is one other area that we'd like to explore further. It has to do with 1874 being the end of the 6,000 years since Adam of sin and death, which was then to be followed by the seventh millennium and the binding of Satan. Well, realistically, brethren, I think we can all see how sin and death have continued after 1874, and Satan is far from bound. How can we harmonize this? Could it be that the end of 6,000 years also needs to have some further clarification? With this in mind, I'd like to add another line to our clarified chart. And I have to say here, brethren, that this aspect of our chart of clarifying when 6,000 years is up is not spelled out in the clarified articles of Brother Russell that we've been considering. It's not spelled out. And we can't help but wonder why he didn't. And we'll consider this shortly. But now we'd like to begin a calculation on a clarified 6,000-year chronology. Starting with our second volume chronology, there we've seen how it's fairly simple and straightforward to calculate step by step the length of time from the creation of Adam to the day the flood was dried up. It was 1656 years. Volume 2, page 43. The period of the flood to the covenant with Abraham at the death of Terah, his father. Volume 2, page 44. It was 427 years. The next step is on volume 2, page 44. The period from the covenant with Abraham to the giving of the law, Paul declares that the length of this period was 430 years. We can see that all of this is fairly straightforward and we're all familiar with it. Well, now we'd like to go on to what Brother Russell refers to as the most difficult portion of chronology. It has to do with the period of the judges. The Old Testament scripture Brother Russell is referring to that covers this period of the judges from the Exodus all the way to the fourth year of King Solomon's reign is 1 Kings 6:1. Now it came about in the 480th year after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the springtime, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Well, this is 1 Kings 6:1 in a chart form. Reading from the top, you may want to follow. 1 Kings 6:1 states that the spring of Solomon's fourth year marked the 480th year from the Exodus, which was also in the spring. Well, this means that the actual elapsed time was 479 years from the Exodus to the start of the temple. Now, if we deduct from the front end the 40 years after the Exodus in the wilderness, then the 6.5 years for the division of the land, and then in the back end, we have the 40 years of Saul's reign, 40 years of David's reign, and 3.5 years of Solomon's reign, we have 349 years remaining, which we will see is the period of, we believe, of the judges. However, brethren, I think we all realize that there's this scripture is questionable, that it has caused debate for many years. Because Paul, in Acts 13:20, says that he gave them judges for 450 years, not 349 years. There Paul says, and after that, this is King James now, after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years unto Samuel the prophet. Well, those students who felt Paul's 450 years in the New Testament was more realistic to follow, and therefore reasoned that 1 Kings 6:1 must be a scribal error when it leaves only 349 years for the judges, not 450 as Paul stated. But how do we then harmonize Acts 13:20 in the King James translation, which states that the period of judges was 450 years, not 350 as in Kings, 1 Kings 6:1. Well, until recently, most all of us, I believe, myself included, as well as Brother Russell, have accepted the Acts scripture, feeling there must be a mistake in 1 Kings 6:1. But brethren, we'd like to share with you a recent discovery for myself that shows the mistake. There's no mistake in 1 Kings 6:1, but the mistake is in Acts 13:20. The King James Bible was written in 1611, and it has many mistakes as compared to the three oldest, more accurate manuscripts, the Sinaitic, the Vatican 1209, and the Alexandrian. But how can we know which scriptures are spurious and which are not, and which ones need to be changed based on these three oldest manuscripts? This is a title page of a recent book printed by the New Brunswick Ecclesia. It's entitled Topical Index for Studies in the Scriptures and Other Helps. It's a very helpful book in looking up things in the volumes according to a topic. But an additional great help is in the back of the book, which are the notes of Constantine Tischendorf, a Greek scholar, who compared the King James Bible with all of the three oldest manuscripts. Notice his note on Acts 13:19-20. Tischendorf notes on Acts 13:19-20. SVA is an abbreviation for Sinaitic, Vatican, Alexandrian. And notice how they all read. He distributed their land to them for an inheritance, about 450 years, and after that he gave unto them judges unto Samuel the prophet. The important aspect that we want to note is not one of these three oldest, more accurate manuscripts says that he gave them judges for 450 years. But rather, they all refer to a 450-year period that preceded the judges. And after that 450-year period, he gives them judges. Well, as a result of the incorrect King James translation of Acts 13, we, Brother Russell and others, have used Acts 13 to show us that 1 Kings 6:1 must be wrong, because it only allowed 349 years for the judges, while Acts 13:20 tells us 450. But what the three oldest, most accurate manuscripts now tell us, that it's the King James rendering of Acts 13:20 that's incorrect, not 1 Kings 6:1. The context of Acts 13 refers to this 450-year period that preceded the judges. Well, brethren, I don't have time now to cover the details, but all the details you'll find in these envelopes on the front of stage of the handout that will be given. But suffice to say now that the context of Acts 13 speaks about Israel receiving their inheritance, starting with Isaac, who would receive Abraham's inheritance, rather than Ishmael, who was the firstborn and should have normally received it. Then follows a 450-year, very brief period, bringing us to when Israel actually finally received their inheritance. Notice verses 19 and 20. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. This is the New American Standard now. So notice it's talking about this 450 years that preceded, and that telling us that that period of history he's referring to took 450 years, and then it says, and after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel. So the key point there is to notice it's after 450 years that he gave them judges. Well, suffice to say now that when you add up the total periods of Paul in Acts 13, 16, and 20, they total 451 and a half years. And that too is in the handout. We want to notice that all the translation that follow are translations based on these later, more accurate manuscripts. The Sinaitic, the Vatican 1209, or the Alexandrian, for all of them end with, and after these things he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Finally, I'd like to mention how Greek scholars who are familiar with the Greek grammar view these verses. This is from the Apologetics Press regarding Acts 13, 17 to 20. We'll just quote the last sentence. The meaning now, because we don't have time to go in this grammar, but the meaning now is that at the point of time at which the land was finally given as an inheritance, 450 years had elapsed since the choice of the fathers. What's the consequence of this correct understanding of Acts 13, 19 to 20? Well, first of all, it adds 101 years to our 6,000-year chronology, which we'll shortly consider. But in addition, previously we used the King James rendering of Acts 13, 20 to prove that 1 Kings 6:1 must have been incorrect. But now seeing that Acts applies to a different time period altogether, I believe that it in essence means that 1 Kings 6:1 is correct as it stands. For without Acts 13, 20, 1 Kings 6:1 is the only scripture we have that tells us definitively the length of the period of judges, which is 349 years. Surely the Lord would want us to have an accurate scriptural calculation of this important time period of the judges. But now, seeing Acts 13:20 doesn't apply to the period of judges, we can see how 1 Kings 6:1 gives us the answer in this one scripture. The answer of the period, the length of the judges, was 349 years. Now we'd like to read what's in this box. I know it's probably too small to read. But with this understanding, it now opens the way to easily calculate when 6,000 years of mankind's history will be up from Adam. Note that bottom box. There is now general agreement by the majority of biblical, historical, and archaeologist scholars, those who accept the Bible, that year one of Solomon commenced in 970 BC. Therefore, the fourth year of Solomon would commence in 966 BC. You can verify this general agreement, brethren, by all these scholars, by Googling. You computer brethren know what that means. Googling King Solomon's Temple, 966. Or Google first year of King Solomon. There you will find biblical, historical, and archaeology scholars who confirm 966 B.C. as the fourth year of Solomon. In our past chronology studies, you recall we have often accepted historical ratings of one or two historians to establish a very important date in history for our chronology. But on this Google, these Google sites as well as others, you'll find not one or two historians, but page after page of many Bible-believing scholars who within a year or two concur that year one of Solomon's reign was 970 B.C., therefore 966 B.C. was the fourth year of Solomon's reign. I've pasted together these 966 sentences. You won't see it just like this, but these are individual sentences from many different archaeologists and historians. But a point that we want to emphasize here, as these are scholars who are Bible-believing scholars, there are also secular historians and archaeologists, and they don't concur, for often their intent is to disprove the Bible. Secular historians and archaeologists often want to disprove the Bible. But brethren, if these Bible-believing scholars are correct, and the date of 966 B.C. is accurate, and we realize, brethren, we couldn't be dogmatic on this, we won't know for sure until we're all beyond the veil. But if it is, we would have a simple, uncomplicated, scriptural, verse-by-verse accounting to figure the number of years from Adam's creation to when 6,000 years would be up. Let's see how. We recall our previous volume to chronology. It was 1,656 years to the flood, 427 years after then to the Abrahamic covenant, 430 years to the Exodus, and now from 1 Kings 6:1, 479 years to the start of the temple, and the historians and archaeologists tell us that 966 B.C. is the fourth year of Solomon's temple. Well, then all we have to do is add 966 years from the temple to come to the year A.D. 1. Well, when you add these numbers of years together, it totals 3,958 years, which would be from Adam to A.D. 1. Thus, Adam creation would have been in 3958. To figure when 6,000 years would be up, it's very simple after that. We merely have to subtract 3958 from 6,000, and you end up with the date 2042. But you have to add 1, because there's no zero here, which would take us to 2043, to the end of 6,000 years from Adam's creation. Now let's go back to our overall clarified chart. Could 2043 be a reasonable possible date for the ending of 6,000 years from Adam, 6,000 years of sin and death? And in addition, possibly indicating the end of the harvest being completed, and that would be followed by three concurrent thousand-year periods, thousand-year mediatorial reign of Jesus in the church, at the same time Satan would be bound for 1,000 years, and the 7,000-year millennial day of blessing, all three running concurrently. And this, in turn, would be followed by the 8th millennium. the eighth millennium. That is, it's the 8,000 year day from Adam. It's the time that all sin will be cut off. And it was symbolized in a type of Genesis 17:12. Circumcision was to take place on the eighth day. So this brings an end to the cutting off of the evil period of this present evil world. And all who will then pass the little season test will go on to live forever in perfect happiness. In this eighth day also is a symbol of a new beginning relationship with God for all mankind. Thus, these 3,000-year periods all would run concurrently. It all run at the end or the completion of the harvest and seem to be so beautifully harmonious with the clarifications that Brother Russell had made. But you know, a question still remains. Brother Russell's clarifications that we considered today were rather straightforward. They were easy to understand concept. But what could be puzzling to us is why didn't Brother Russell then go on to clarify all the other matters, all the other points that would need to be changed to harmonize with these clarified thoughts that he made? Such as, why didn't he revise the 6,000-year chronology? Why didn't he revise the 70-year desolation of land, as well as other scriptures? Well, brethren, we don't know for sure. All we can do is surmise. But we'd like to suggest that we believe it was because the latest historical and archaeological information necessary to understand it was not yet published in his lifetime. It wasn't until some time after his death that the results were published by the discovery of over 5,000 clay tablets that indicated that a revision to the 6,000-year chronology was absolutely necessary. Thus, I tend to think that this matter was somewhat similar to when the brethren asked Brother Russell when he would revise the seventh volume on Revelation. You remember his answer was, someone else will do it. For he realized that the information needed to fully understand Revelation wasn't yet given. So perhaps, brethren, this is the same reason Brother Russell didn't proceed to further clarify or reinterpret all the other scriptures that would be involved that would have to do with the ending of 6,000-year chronology. It wasn't due time. He realized he didn't have the answers. But as the harvest progressed, Brother Russell came to realize he had to make some clarifications about the ending of the harvest, the reign of the church, and the binding of Satan. Especially when brethren had been bringing it up in question form. These 3,000-year periods don't seem to harmonize. What are we to do with them? And this he did in the reprint articles that we considered today. Brethren, I think I'd be correct to say that no one likes changes. I know I don't. It's much easier to believe what we've always believed. But I'd like to mention that there are different minds and different opinions, and some accept one viewpoint versus another. Many of my closest friends in the truth prefer to study what Brother Russell originally wrote on chronology, which is perfectly fine. For most of us have been nurtured by those chronology of Brother Russell. And it has been and it continues to richly bless many. All of us. Well, brethren, we're not trying to disprove that, but we want to harmonize it with Brother Russell's latest clarifications. But then one might wonder, why did you give a talk like this in a subject where we know there are differences? It could result in a measure of disunity. Surely this wasn't your intent. Oh, brethren, heaven forbid. I hope it would have just the opposite. I think the brethren know well enough to know that most of my life I have endeavored to produce and promote a greater unity amongst ourselves as brethren, that we may all recognize one another as spirit-begotten children of God, and that we could work together more fully, more completely. Why did I give it? I think we realize that, in measure, all of us are influenced by what we call peer pressure, of wanting to believe and express what my closest friends believe, for we want to be well thought of by them. But as a result, we could sometimes end up actually being opposed to a different view, even though we may never heard it or read it. May it not be so with us, brethren. And so it was for this reason I gave this discourse, so that we might be aware, in a small measure, the view of brethren who are trying to harmonize all of what Brother Russell wrote, the earlier as well as the later. It's not trying to prove which view is right or which view is wrong. We'll know beyond the veil. But it's merely for us to weigh and to consider. Rather than divide, may it unite, brethren, as we get to understand the background of one another's beliefs, and then be able to rejoice together in what we all have in common, the precious harvest message that we receive from our Lord through Brother Russell. That blessed understanding that we have received through the volumes and reprints. Brother Russell died nearly 100 years ago. Since then, the increase of knowledge has brought many historical and archaeological discoveries to the forefront that weren't known in his day. Could it be that as a result, there now is sufficient knowledge to arrive at a more complete understanding of Scripture and its tie-in with chronology that Brother Russell actually didn't have? For myself, I believe there is. It's in the form of 3 books that have been a rich blessing to me that I'd like to share with you. They were written by one of our dear scholarly brethren that we all know, Brother David Rice, who has studied these perplexing issues of history and chronology for most of his life. And so, brethren, we've copied all 3 of these books onto a DVD. And they are in a craft envelope that will be in front of the stage, or they'll be passed out after the photo, that you can take and read and be able to understand this point of view. That in turn could bring a harmony to these issues, and that it could result in a blessed experience. My earnest prayer is that these clarifications might spur us on to realize the harvest message that we all so dearly love is still absolutely true, even though Brother Russell had to make a few clarifications. It will soon reach its glorious consummation. Soon our trials will be over. May we as a movement utilize whatever time we have left to strive with every fiber of our being to make our calling and election sure and work together to bring about the completion of the last members of the church.